Yes, Andrew, let me order that. Okay, what we're going to go over, wow, it's a whole group of yous today. We're going to go over the coronation of a king in Israel, how that was done. Does anybody know how, what would have been done as they coronate a king? Okay. Well, there's one thing they do, and someone would pick the king, a priest or someone like that, that God had instructed to pick a king. So I'm going to pick the king. And I'm going to pick Justin as king. Come on up here with me. I need you here. Okay? So he's going to be the king. Well, the first thing that's recorded in the Bible, well, not necessarily the first thing, in one of the king's coronation, they would crown him. So I'm pretend this is a crown. I don't have a better crown than that. They would crown him king. And the next thing they would do is they would anoint him. So just pretend this is some oil and I'm going to anoint him king. I'm not sure exactly how they anointed him. Then, I think you have it out of order, they would blow on a trumpet. Not really a trumpet. It would be a shofar. This book shows a picture of a shofar. See how it would be a ram's horn. And it wouldn't be like a metal trumpet. It would make a piercing sound, and they would go something like this. Woo! And they're making him king. Then, in one of the coronations, all the people clapped their hands and rejoiced. And then they would say, long live the king, or God save the king. And then the last thing they would do, I wanted to show you this other picture here. Here's a picture of what they have for the crown for Solomon. See how they had Solomon's crown? You see that, Justin? It wasn't quite, it was a little fancier than this. It was gold. That's up here. But the last thing they did, they would sit him on a throne. And you're going to have to use your imagination. This is the throne. Sit him on the throne. So we have King Justin today. And there was one king that was about 7 years old, so he wasn't too much older than Justin when he was coronated as king. So that was... that's the story time. And thank you for your participation and thank you for being such a big king. You can go back to your seats if you want to. If you want to be king for the day, whole day, Justin, you can stay up here with me. I'll just let you sit. Do you want to stay up here the whole time? Okay, you don't have to. You can all go back to your seats. Okay, I guess you can have a little idea that I'm going to be talking about the coronation of a king. Being American, this room's really out of balance. So if I don't look at you people over here, don't feel slighted. One, two, three, there's about 40 over here. I don't know what it is with this group, but they like to do that. Being American, I myself really don't have a good concept of a king, what a king would be, especially a king that would be in the Bible, and even more so a king that would be righteous. There's really not many good examples in the Bible of a righteous king. King David sinned,
Solomon had so many wives, and it gets worse from that. So today what I'm going to do is focus on the coronation ceremonies that are recorded in the Bible, specifically two of them. Not going to focus on all of them, but one thing I want to mention is when Israel asked for a king, it was not a positive thing to happen. So turn to 1 Samuel 8, verses 1 through 11. And it says in 1 Samuel 8, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in the way his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So they had rejected God as their king. And verse 10, it says, God instructed Samuel to tell him what would result from the result would be from having a king and the negative aspects of it in verse 10, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked for a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, and so on and so forth of the negative things. If you turn over a few pages to 1 Samuel 12, and in verse 11, in 1 Samuel 12, verse 11, and the Lord sent Jerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hands of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us. When the Lord your God was your king, I saw some translations that had it, is your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you desire, and behold the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king that reign over you continuing following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. So, main point I want to make is it was really not a positive thing for Israel to ask for a king, because God's our king. God's the king of the whole universe. In Isaiah 53, verse 15, I'm not going to turn there, but it mentions that God was the king of Israel. It says, God is your king. And in Psalm 10:16. Again, I'm not going to turn there, but it says that God would be king forever and ever. And God is king right now over everything, over the whole earth, but yet we really don't see him actively involved in the things that are going on. He hasn't really come down and changed this world. He has kind of hands-off policy, but he is involved. Turn to Daniel 4. He is involved in the sense that he sets up kingdoms. Daniel 4, I'm just going to read one verse, verse 17. And this is a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and Daniel's given the interpretation of it. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demands by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will, and set up over it the basest of men. So God sets up base people to be over kingdoms. And for his ultimate purpose, it's going to go about. There'll be a future time when God will set up Christ as the king. So let's look at that a little bit. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north countries and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. But this righteous branch, who in the New Testament we come to see as Christ." Let's turn to Zechariah 14, and we'll pick up a few verses there. Zechariah 14, verse 9. It says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one." And in verse 16 and 17, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall there be no rain." Now in the New Testament, let's turn to Luke 1, verses 30 through 33. Luke 1, verses 30 through 33. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And that's a key point of the dynasty that goes on. It'll be the throne of David. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And then just turn to Revelation 15. Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4. It says, "And they sing the song of Moses and the servant of God and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Okay. Now that I have that background and looking into the future, I want to look at the coronation, two coronations that are recorded in Scripture, the ones of Solomon and the other ones of Joash, and he's also called Jehoash. The first one is in 1 Kings. I believe it starts in 28. Yeah, 1 Kings 28. Through 48, and this is at the coronation of Solomon. Then, and I'll pick it up, verse 28, "Then King David answered and said, Call me Bathsheba. And she came unto the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, As the Lord liveth, that has redeemed my soul out of all distress, verse 30, even as I swore unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly Solomon my son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed."
What chapter are you in?
Oh, what did I say?
You said
28. Oh. Supposed to be verse 28. 1 Kings 1, verse 28. I'm sorry about that. I'll just start all over again in verse 28. In chapter 1 of 1 Kings. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, that hast redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swore unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. And the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my mule. So that's one thing they did. They caused him to ride upon a mule. You might want to mark that down, because we will see that happens in the New Testament. Ride upon my mule and bring him down to Gion. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. So they were going to anoint him. And blow you with the trumpet. That's the shofar there. And say, King James has God save the King Solomon. I had another translation that had long live the king. Or long live King Solomon. So I'm not exactly sure what's the best translation. I would think I would prefer long live King Solomon, because he eventually did die. So I'm not sure which one it should be. Verse 35, then you shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, and he shall be king in my stead, and I'll appoint him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. Then it says, in Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, amen, the Lord God of my Lord the king say so. I want to drop down to verse 38. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and called Solomon to ride upon the king David's mule and brought him to Gion. And Zadok the priest took the horn of oil, so it was a horn of oil out of the tabernacle, and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpets, and all the people said, God save the King Solomon. And all the people came up after him. And now here's the part that I didn't really discuss with the children. And the people piped with pipes. My margin has flutes. And rejoiced with great joy. So there was great rejoicing that went on when they had this the ceremony. He said that the earth rent with the sound of them. So it actually, you know, you could hear it from a long distance. It was a very powerful thing that was going on. I'll drop down to verse 43. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily the Lord King David hath made Solomon king. And the king has sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet. Mentions down at the bottom of that verse that they caused him to ride on the mule. But in verse 46 is what I want to read. And also Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. So that's what was the last thing they did here. They sat him on the throne. In verse 48 it says, and also thus says the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has given one to sit on my throne this day. Mine eyes even seen it. So David was thankful that he was able to see that. Now go to 2 Kings chapter 11. And we'll look at the coronation of Joash. And he was 7 years old when he began to reign. It says in chapter 12, verse 1. But we'll look at chapter 11 and we'll start in verse 12. And he brought forth the king's son, and here they put the crown upon him. And they gave him the testimony. This is, as far as putting the crown on and the testimony, they aren't recorded that they did that to Solomon. They aren't quite sure what the word testimony means. My margin has Deuteronomy 17:14, which would be the copy of the King's copy of the Bible. I also read that it would be a decree that they would make that he was king. So they aren't quite sure what that means. I think either one of them could be the case. And they made him king and anointed him. So here's the anointment. And they clapped their hands. Now this, as far as I know, this is the only coronation ceremony that shows that they clapped their hands. But remember that, because we will see that later on. And they said, God save the king. Down to verse 14. And when she looked, I can't pronounce her name right now, but it was the queen that was trying to keep him from reigning. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced. So here we have rejoicing, and they blew with trumpets. This is not the shofar. This is a trumpet. So I think this corresponds more to the flutes that were played in Solomon's coronation. And then she rent her clothes and cried treason. In verse 19 it says, and he took the rulers over hundreds and captains and guards, and the guards and all the people of the land, and he brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guards to the king's house, and he sat on the thrones of the king. So the last thing they did was they sat him on the throne. Now there's, if you combine the two together, what we have is Solomon was mounted on a mule. They put a crown on Joash, and they gave him the testimony, whatever that was. They declared Joash as king. They anointed both of them. They clapped their hands during Joash's coronation. They sounded the shofar during Solomon's coronation. The people then rejoiced and said, God save the king, or long live the king. And there were flutes played in Solomon, and there were trumpets played in Joash's, and they sat him on the throne. So however you want to break that down, I have that listed as nine separate things. Okay, now what I want to do is I want to look at what are called the enthronement psalms, or they're called royal psalms. And we'll see these different aspects of these coronations in the psalms. The first one I want to look at is Psalm 2. In Psalm 2, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. So here we have an anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from that. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. So here we have them. Here we have God the Father declaring Christ as king. And it's a coronation ceremony. And I will declare the decree. Some people believe that's the same thing as the testimony that we talked about in Joash's coronation. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's recorded in Hebrews, and we will be reading that later. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. His scepter, the scepter is not really mentioned in any of the coronation ceremonies, but it is mentioned in, I believe it's Genesis 49 and another number of other scriptures, but I'm not going to go into that because it wasn't mentioned in any of the ceremonies that we did. Let me see. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice. Here we have rejoicing with trembling. What a dichotomy that is. And then it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. So during the ceremony, at least verse 12 shows that there's some kind of homage given to the king. Let's go to Psalm 21. And we'll read verses 1 through 7. It's to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice? So here we have rejoicing. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. Thou hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou hast prevented him with the blessing of goodness, and settest a crown of pure gold on his head. So it was a crown of pure gold. It wasn't quite like a paper bowl. Something very precious. He asked life of thee, and thou givest him even length of days forever and ever. And I personally think that corresponds to when they would say, long live the king. I think that fits right in there. His glory is great, and in thy salvation, honor and majesty hath thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. And I personally can see the parallels there with the coronation. Let's go to Psalm 89 and look at some of them that are there. Psalm 89 is a tremendous psalm. It's a lot in there. I'll start in verse 1. Well, it's a psalm of, my Bible has a maskil of Ethan the Ezraite. I will sing of mercy of the Lord forever with my mouth, while I may know thy faithfulness to all generation. For I have said, mercy shall be built forever, thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have chosen I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. So here we have the throne. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Here it even has the heavens rejoicing. During, in some of the other psalms, it talks about the heavens rejoicing and the earth. O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who is in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is strong like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. It shows God controls nature. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. I want to drop down to verse 12 just to pick up the north and the south. Thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. So here is the rejoicing in the name of God. Verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Again, the throne we have. Mercy and truth shall go before thee. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Again, we have the rejoicing over the king. In thy name shall they rejoice all day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense. The Holy One of Israel is our king. So here they're declaring him king. Verse 20, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. So here we have that anointing that went on in the coronation. In verse 29 it says, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. And verse 36 has, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. And verse 38 mentions his anointed. I want to go to Psalm 98. There are other psalms that are classified as enthronement psalms. Psalm 93, I'm not going to read that. And Psalm, actually, 96 through 98, is they're classified as enthronement psalms or royal psalms. Psalm 96 through 97 mention, they declare the kingship of God. They mention the Lord reigns, and then they go to show how he reigns. Psalm 132 is another enthronement psalm, and that mentions the throne of God, the anointing. It mentions the crowning, and it mentions the rejoicing. Psalm 72 is a royal psalm, and that talks about the reign. And it's very messianic in nature, very futuristic. And Psalm 110 is also another one that, and I forget exactly what that talks about. I don't have that in my notes. But now it's Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord. And whenever there's a coronation that I've seen, there's always singing, there's always music, there's always playing of some instrument. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly shown in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All ends of the earth have seen his seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise. Here we have the music unto the Lord. All the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with the trumpet and the sound of the cornet it has in the King James, but that's the shofar. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the seas roar and the fullness thereof. Here we have the earth rejoicing, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. So here we have the clapping of hands at the coronation of the Messiah. Let the hills be joyful together, and the whole creation is rejoicing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. And right on into Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth. So they're declaring God as king. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubs. Let the earth be moved. And I was thinking that's on the throne, and I can't remember if they had cherubs on the throne of Solomon that went over top of them, but the cherubs are at the mercy seat, so I'm not sure if that's talking at the mercy seat or at a throne where they had cherubs. I can't remember if they had cherubs in Solomon's throne. The Lord is great in Zion, and he's high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment, and doth establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt you, the Lord our God. Here we have again the worshiping, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. And that's all I'll read in that section. Now I want to go to Psalm 47. Is where I want to go. And that's pretty much the reason I came up with the idea of doing this sermon. And I left my books back there that I was going to show. But the one book I have, I'll grab that. Most of the information I got for this sermon was from Sacred Marriage, or from the Sacral Kingship to the Sacred Marriage by Tom R. Roberts, and Ancient Israel by Roland DeVoe. They go over the enthronement psalms in their book. But I was reading this book by a man named Joseph Good. It's Rosh Hashanah and the Messianic Kingdom to Come. And in the one section he has about the coronation, and he shows Psalm 47 in there, wherever it's at. I can't quite find it now, but somewhere in there. And it interested me about, you know, what's happening with this coronation. I want to learn more about this. So I started looking up coronation. I got all the reference books I have at home, and I started looking up dictionaries. I couldn't find nothing on coronation, on my Bible dictionaries. I thought, well, where am I going to find something at? And everything I looked at, I couldn't find anything on coronation until I got this, these two. Well, the one book I had, I just didn't realize it had about the coronation, and then I bought this one, and it talks about the enthronement song. But I found out that Psalm 47 is very important in the Jewish mindset on Rosh Hashanah. They repeat this psalm seven times before they have their shofar blowing ceremony, and that's when they blow the shofar like 100 times during that ceremony. And I think it's in the late morning that they do that. I'm not sure the exact time, but it's very messianic in nature and very showing that God is our King. So I'll start reading that Psalm 47 to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people! Here we have the clapping of hands, just as Joash's coronation. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. One translation I have, it says, let me get that. I think it says blow the shofar, but I'm not exactly sure. It says join hands, clap hands, sound the shofar to God with a cry of joy. For the Lord is supreme, awesome is the great King. And the King James it has, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is great King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the ecclesy of Jacob, whom he loves. Selah. God is going up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a shofar is what the word means. So here it shows God. As best I can tell, it shows God in the coronation ceremony of the Messiah. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Hear again the music. Unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing you praises with understanding. God reigneth. Here we're declaring God is King over the heathen. God sits upon the throne. Here's the throne of His holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shield of the earth belongs unto God. He is greatly to be exalted. I'm going to look at it. The New Testament similarities to the coronation ceremonies and what Christ did while he was on the earth and what will happen when he returns. But I want to read this quote, because if there's nothing else you get out of what I said today, I think this is an important quote, and I think it's something that we need to really take to mind for ourselves. It's from a rabbi. His name's Israel Salanter. And it says, it is easier to proclaim God as King over the whole universe. And that's easy to do, to say He's King over the whole universe. I pretty much said that a number of times so far in the sermon. Than it is to accept Him as King over ourselves as an individual. That's hard to do. I personally have a hard time doing it, to accept God as my King and let Him rule over every aspect of my life. That's not easy to do. But let's look at the similarities in the New Testament. Let's go to Luke 19. And after going through these coronation ceremonies and things, this scripture hit me like a brick when I read it. Let's see, Luke 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. So Christ was going to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he had come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go you into the villages over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied. There were one yet never a man sat, loosed him and bring him thither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owner thereof said unto them, why loosed you the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. A lot of times, I just read over that scripture. I have a lot of times, but do you realize there's a miracle going on here? You don't just don't sit on a colt that's never been ridden, and it doesn't buck and bronk and go on. Something, you know, you just don't do that. But somehow, you know, it shows the power of God that it was peaceful. Verse 36, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. So here we have rejoicing with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples, because they were saying he's the Messiah, basically. They were proclaiming him Messiah there. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So if his disciples didn't do that, would immediately the stones would do it. How great is God? But the thing that blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, I was just stunned when I read that. I've read it a number of times. There's parallels to that in Matthew 21, 1 through 9. That mentions that blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Mark 11, 1 through 10 is a parallel. And I believe that says blessed is the Son of David, which would refer to the righteous, to the Messiah that would come from David. And John 12:12 through 16 mentions the King of Israel, I believe it is. Let's go to Revelation 4. And we'll look at some of the coronation ceremony that will be in the future. At least I think so. Revelation 4. And I'll start in verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. So here we have a trumpet sounding, and the day of trumpets is coming up. And it's a coronation time, at least in the Jewish mindset. So I think this is talking about the coronation. Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. It's talking of God the Father. And he that sat upon it was looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about their throne, in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon a seat I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne there were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within it, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And then we'll go to chapter 5. And it says in verse 1, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John was weeping because of this, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals, talking of Christ. And he beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, took the book from God the Father. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and a golden vial full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And he sung a new song. Again, here we have this singing. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. This must have been something to hear. It talked about when Solomon was coronated. I believe it was Solomon's coronation, how the whole earth rent. Well, when this happens, everything's going to be rent. It's going to be an awesome thing. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four beasts said, Amen. And the four and 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. It's going to be a tremendous thing when Christ is coronated. Go to Revelation 11. I'll just read two verses there. Revelation 11, 15 through 17. Three verses. And the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the four and 20 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. I want to go to Hebrews 1 and finishing and close. Be the last scriptures I'll be turning to, be reading verses 1 through 9. I do want to mention in Revelation, it's in Revelation 19, I think it's in verse 12, it mentions about Christ having many crowns put upon him, many diadems. So that would be part of the coronation ceremony. Many of the verses that we read are in this one section of Hebrews. And I'll start in Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So sat on the right hand of God the Father, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Because he's King of kings and Lord of lords. That's also mentioned in Revelation 19. For unto which of the angels saith he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth his first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirit, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So here again, we have the throne, we have the anointing. And it'll be so much, when Christ returns, there'll be, it's indescribable to me, the rejoicing and the things that'll go on. And the peace, and especially in the world we live. I don't know how your life is. Mine's very hectic. It seems like there's never enough time. And it'd just be a totally different world. So I'd like to encourage everyone, and myself included, to be able to strive, you know, to say that God is my King, and to really mean it, and to really let Him rule my life and our lives, that we can be pleasing in His eyes, and a congregation that does things that will benefit the world.